We've been talking about imitating God, and we've been looking at the Ephesians 4 and 5, and remember the foundation. 1 John 5:11-12 says, and this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So reviewing just a little bit, remember when in 4 when he said, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. And so that was his warning. You have truth. Now listen to it. Obey it. He said, now you have a new nature. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. We sang about that one song today. You are holy. You are holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Now, we know that new nature, don't we? We do get angry sometimes. But you know, our anger is not lasting, is it? Because the Spirit works within us, and He knows how to control that anger. There's a lot of things we can be angry for. I'm angry for the stupidity in our government. And that anger continues, by the way. It isn't something you just do once and forget. No, I can't forget it because the people are evil, and they're doing evil things. And if you look what's happening in Israel, it's beyond evil. And Jan and Jennifer were sharing a video with each other, probably this morning, maybe last night. But they were watching the person that was just killed, the leader of the terrorist group in Hamas. And they saw him the night before they had the raid, October 7. He and his wife and kids were walking through this tunnel where he had plotted that whole plan for about 2 or 3 years. And they have a video from their cameras that was in that tunnel that shows that they were fleeing to get out of harm's way for themselves and then sending in the 7th attack. Over a year now. And Israel will never forget that, just like we'll never forget 9/11. And we know that in the end, there's a lot of things that are significant about what Israel is going to face and what the world is going to face. And we're part of the world's plan, God's plan for the world. And He wants us to be ready. How do we get out of harm's way? By believing in Jesus. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy always, but Jesus gets us out of harm's way. And so we can encourage one another and understand the Lord's blessing. And here's what he said. He said, stop our old lifestyle. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Any of us ever steal? I'm sure somewhere in life one of us have done something like that. I can remember when I was in elementary school. I stole a box of crayons from the teacher. Oh, did I feel guilty for a long, long time until the Lord took care of that. So if you're a thief, stop stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work. And then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Use kind words instead of mean words. Those are good instructions, right? People rejoice in kind words. They react to evil words, right? And that's important. That's a new lifestyle. And so I broke up some thoughts about these different ideas of what living the new life is. Work hard and give generously, it says. Isaiah 32, 7 and 8 says this. The smooth tricks of scoundrels are evil. They plot crooked schemes. They lie to convict the poor, even when the cause of the poor is just. But generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. I thought that was an interesting verse in Isaiah. And if we look at different systems today, we find evil people in courts lying. And they lie about good people who do good things. Every once in a while, I have some interesting dreams. By the way, I don't think they're prophecies, okay? I have some interesting dreams. And an interesting dream recently is talking to a pastor friend who is from a church just down the street from the church that I was pastoring in. It's not even one that I was in. But he was a good friend. I think he was from a Methodist church. And he and I were walking down the street, and we were talking about all the evil and destruction that was happening around in our city. And I think he was talking about the woke tribe. And anyway, that's my interpretation. But as we were walking down the street, he said to me, he said, you know, I think it's going to start happening to our churches too. And I thought it was an interesting dream, but I think it might be true. Because we find that happening to churches today, don't we? We help people doing evil things against churches and lying about pastors. I get interesting emails and I hear about pastors that have been brought before courts for doing such good things as having a church on Sunday and letting people sing in church. That happened years ago during the pandemic, remember? And people were brought in court for doing good things. So anyway, Isaiah says they were scoundrels. And there are scoundrels out there doing evil all the time. But he said the opposite of that is the generous people. People with good hearts. And we know something about generous people. And they are good. People are generous. And then Philemon 1:6 says, Paul was talking to them. He says, I am praying that you will put in action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things that we have in Christ. Make a comment in a minute. In 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 9, he says, "Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. And then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever." Now, I can give a lot of comments here because there's some of them, but basically what Paul was saying in these contexts was that they were taking an offering to help the church in Jerusalem, because that church had suffered major persecution. Their property had been stolen. Their lives had been threatened. Most of them had to get out of the city of Jerusalem because of the evil that was being brought against them. And the church of those that remained, and that was where the apostles remained, Peter and the others, Peter, James, and John and the others that were there. And Paul was taking up an offering for them in the context you'll see here in Acts. He said, be generous. Philemon was asked to be generous for a servant that had run away. And Paul was sending him back and said, I'd rather have him stay with me, but I'm sending him back to you. And I'm asking for your forgiveness. So you read the context about all of that. And so what they were saying is that when God provides for us, it'll help us give generously. Now, I can make a side comment on the last verses here. I don't believe that our government is generous. They're politically inspired to give and take your money and my money and give it to people that don't deserve it, illegals. Now, I have to admit there are some people that come across the border, maybe even illegals, who are here because they want to provide a better life. But there's a legal way of doing it as well. And we know all about legal ways. When people come in legally, according to the laws that we have set up, and they have a procedure in order to become citizens. You and I were born citizens. Elliot wasn't, and I can still remember our celebration when he became a legal citizen in our land. We talk about that often, and he's grateful. And was a blessed time. I remember that. So anyway, enough of that. You know, but I am angry about the way our government is using our money, and they have used it up to give $15,000 to illegals and then a monthly allotment that's probably more than any of us make a month. And then one state is making a provision for them to vote. And that's even more evil. And North Carolina, I just heard a news blurb this morning that there are still, 30? I think it was 30 people, I may be wrong, that are still missing from Hurricane Helene. The first one. In North Carolina, and they haven't found them yet. They know their names, but they haven't found them. And then you look, and I saw a video of Donald Trump's son, Donald Trump Jr., walking the streets in North Carolina with Samaritan's Purse, providing help. And FEMA says there isn't enough money to help anymore for those people. We don't have any money for them. Why? Because they've used the pile of money for illegal, many of whom are terrorists, murderers, thieves, rapists. And so I am angry about that, and I'm not going to give up my anger.
Their money also goes overseas for other people who need
help.
Yeah. Not here.
Sure.
Anything but here.
Yeah, that's all part of it too, isn't it? And so I can be angry with all of that. I confess that I get AARP newsletter. And it makes a mess. And the mailbox is a mess on my table. But the last one had some questions that they said that they wanted to be fair and ask the same questions for the two candidates for presidency. And so basically they were asking about Social Security and long-term health and all of those things. And I was reading the article, and I was very proud of Trump's answers. They were honest. Kamala's were not quite so vivid. She didn't really have answers to what she was going to do. She lied about things that she had done. Trump talked about what he had done too, but he had 4 years as president and did it. That he wanted to make us energy efficient, not only energy efficient, but have enough energy to be able to supply to other parts of the world. Energy suppliers. Anyway, that was one of them. And what he had done with Social Security, and the things that he had done in old age, and the lies that they made, Kamala, concerning Medicare and concerning insurance. They think Obamacare was the answer. It never was. And it's still around. I get emails all the time wanting me to sign up for Obamacare. I haven't. I'm not going to. But enough of that. Anyway, I appreciated the fact that even though I don't like AARP's stance on most things, they at least gave an honest side-by-side answers that these two gave to the questions that they asked. And in that sense, they were unbiased. They were good. So anyway, I like that article. I don't like most of them. So anyway, work hard and give generously, he says. And then watch out our language, he said earlier in Ephesians. In Proverbs, it says this: the words of the godly are life-giving fountains. The words of the wicked conceal violent intentions. And then in 32, it says, the lips of the godly speak helpful words, but the mouth of the wicked speaks perverse words. And then in 12:14, he says, wise words bring many benefits, and hard work brings rewards. Very similar to what Paul was talking about, right? Use wise words, careful of our language, work hard. Use our hands for good. And then Isaiah 35 is about encouragement. 35:1-5 says, even the wilderness and desert will be glad in those days. The lay wasteland will rejoice and blossom with spring crocuses. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel or the plain of Sharon. There the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. Some interesting promises there, aren't they? And if you know what he's talking about, he's talking really transferring down to the return of the Lord. And he said that's going to be what the world is like when Jesus comes back. And that's what it's all about. And all throughout the scriptures, he always talks about the beauty of the trees in the mountains of Lebanon. I don't know if you realize it, but the climate of Lebanon and the trees in the mountains there are exactly the same as Washington and California redwoods. Exactly the same as our climate. We can rejoice in those, don't we? Do you rejoice in our mountains and our trees and the cedars and the redwoods? I remember when I was using redwood to build things in California. Up here, they don't have much of that, but I use cedar. Not anymore. Used to. But you think about that, Lebanon is always encouraged as the epitome of God's goodness. And the plains and the mountains, we have them all. Do you ever thank God that we live in Washington? Except for our government. And pray for Reichert that he'll get in, you know? That's a tough battle, you know? So anyway, God is good. And then Hebrews 10:25 says, and this is so important for our day. He said, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that his return is drawing near. That's so important. Thank you for being here today. It's important that we're here. And we meet together. That doesn't mean we're a perfect church. At least your pastor isn't. So be careful and meet together. And we do know that his return is getting closer, isn't it? It's more important today. And if you look around the churchdom, I was thinking that as I was driving here today. I saw someone mowing his lawn, someone putting garbage out. I saw other things. I saw people riding their motorcycle down the street. And couldn't see his face because he had a shield, a black shield in front of it. But I thought, you know, I pray that he'll not have a wreck. You know, I saw people jogging. Prayed that they would be protected. I saw family walking down the street with two kids running ahead of them. The car in front of me slowed down, and I did too, because they were afraid. What if the kids would run out in the street instead of staying on the sidewalk? The parents were right behind them about 10 steps, but, you know, still, kids can run pretty fast, can't they? So, you know, you see all of those things, and I got thinking about it. In my day, most people on Sunday went to church. nowadays 99.9% of the people think it's just another day. In fact, even more, they think it's a nice holiday. Nice holiday. Don't worry about church. And I think that may be evident of the Lord's return, too. Getting closer. Maybe. My opinion means absolutely nothing, but it could be. And then Ephesians 4:30. Remember back to the end of that book again, chapter again. He said, remember, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. You see, that's an actual fact that you and I need to remember. The return of the Lord is the day of redemption for us. We will be saved on the day of redemption. Remember 1 Peter? 1 Peter 1. Some of the thoughts there, anyone remember those? Okay. That's an assignment this week. Read 1 Peter chapter 1. And he holds us the day of the Lord. He holds us in his hands. And he has given us a down payment. And that down payment is the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption that is coming. So remember what he says. And then in 4:31 in Ephesians, back to the finality, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. And you know, one of the things that's great about the message of Jesus when he saves us, he does change our heart. He changes heart that these things are not tripping us up all the time. When people slander us, it's okay. We don't have to get angry. When people lie about us, and anyone ever lie about us? Yeah, people have done that. Sometimes family, sometimes as pastors, you find a lot of it in churches where people lie about us. I can't be angry about that in the years past. I can't be bitter. The word that I used to use, and this is not of my own, it's not unique with me, but I used to say, we can either be bitter or we can be better. And the Holy Spirit allows us to be better when we face hurt or things. And we can't be bitter if we have troubles. Ask the Lord to overcome them. And I think back over my life, over the years, and God has given me so many good things. Regrets? Yeah, I have regrets of failures. I have regrets of stupidity. That's what we call sin. We just give it a different word. And I have regrets of those things in my life, yes. But God heals them. And God gives me relief from all of them. And so when people do evil things, as I mentioned, I'll be angry at that continuing things, but not angry at the specifics that people do to me. Some of the best writings have come out of prisons. Pilgrim Progress was written in the 1600s in prison by John Bunyan, wasn't it? And I was just thinking this morning, I've got a series of old books that was written around the turn of the century, in which a preacher, and I'm trying to remember the name right now, I'll have to look up at the books again, but I got about 5 or 6 books. And I can remember when I found them in a used bookstore in Wheaton. And I was so pleased to get them. They're sermons that he wrote on the different events of Pilgrim's Progress. And the characters that were in there and this kind of things. It's an old classic. And I thought, as I got up this morning, I said, I've got to find those. I know where they're at. I've got to get them off the shelf and look at them. It's been years since I looked at them. But I was so pleased to get them for just shekels years ago at Eric R. Allison's used bookstore in Wheaton. And a beautiful time. Used to spend lots of hours there roaming through the shelves. Now it's hard for me to read other than on iPads, but that's beside the point. So remove all of these things. And then here is, he said, be an example. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Now that's the final word of instruction in this chapter 4. And that's what he wants us to be, forgiving and tender-hearted. And that needs to be our prayer. And we'll deal with those things next week. We're going to deal with it, what Colossians says, providing it. And then hopefully we'll begin here in Ephesians 5. Imitate God in everything you do, because you are his dear children. So maybe we better say, Lord, let me. Everyone bow for prayer for just a minute and say in your own heart, Lord, help me to be that encouragement and forgiving. Will you say that for yourself? Father God, help me to reflect the gifts that you've given each of us through your Holy Spirit of forgiving, having mercy and tenderness. So help us, help me, Lord, help each of us to do that. Lord Jesus, teach us how to adore you the way that you deserve and the way that you desire. Thank you that you are all of life, forever and ever. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your kingdom. Help us to live circumspectly in that position that you have given us. Help us to call upon you and rest in you, adore you and love you with our whole heart and being, every minute of every day, as you are with us every minute. Help us to remember that no matter what we're doing and where we're at. So thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Now walk with us. May we honor you this week. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen. Shalom.